So good morning and welcome to a gorgeous morning of worship and celebration at New City. It was the first time in my life that I heard someone play the harp. That was beautiful. Now, I'm sure many of us have noticed that in Hollywood, the phenomenon of prequel to movies are beginning to do quite well at the box office. Star Wars, I guess, is the most recent example of a prequel. Other prequels have done quite reasonably well. Aliens, the classic, 1979, the classics, that had a prequel recently and did quite well. Star Trek had a prequel. X-Men had a prequel. Batman Begins was a prequel. And prequels are kind of becoming popular. And so today's sermon is also some kind of a prequel. Today's sermon is a prequel to Christmas. What happened before Christmas? What happened before Christ was born as a man here on earth? And that's the Christmas prequel we're going to be talking about today. I got this thought of a sermon on a Christmas prequel from one of the disciples of Jesus who wrote an account of his entire life. I got this idea from John, who wrote the fourth account of the life of Jesus. Four accounts of the life of Jesus are recorded for us in the Bible: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And each of these four disciples who wrote an account of the life of Jesus took a very different pathway to launch their narrative of Jesus. Mark was a man of action, so he hit the road running and started his account when Jesus was about 30 years old and he was baptized and began his public ministry of teaching and healing people. Luke, he chose to begin his account a few months before the birth of Jesus, giving us an account of the virgin birth. So that's a prequel too, in some sense. Now Matthew, he chose a very different approach. He began almost 2,000 years before the birth of Christ, tracing the family line of Jesus for 42 generations all the way from Abraham. He starts his gospel with the genealogy of Jesus. Take that for a prequel, 42 generations. He did it to prove that Jesus descended from the line of Abraham as God had promised Abraham 2,000 years ago. But the grandest prequel to Christmas is given to us by John. John went back not just 2,000 years or 42 generations of human ancestry of Jesus, but John went back to the beginning of eternity to trace the divine nature of Christ Jesus. And that's the Christmas prequel we're going to be talking about today. So let me read the passage we're going to be starting off with this morning. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, 1 to 4, and then I'll read verse 14 as well. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. Verse 14. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. We pray for us for a minute as we explore this passage together. Jesus, we lift You up. Even as we celebrate Your birth, Lord, all our hearts desire this morning to lift up Christ Jesus. So Spirit of God, we pray, would You come and lead us to worship, birth in each of our hearts different and beautiful and rich and deep and strong and powerful expressions of worship to Christ Jesus, because You deserve it, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to start the sermon with a qualifying statement. Christmas is not a celebration of the origin of Christ. It is a celebration of just the incarnation of Christ. Christ did not begin with Christmas. He just incarnated as human in Christmas Day. Christ began from before the beginning of time. While we must rejoice and celebrate Christmas, we must not allow ourselves to think of the human birth of Jesus as his beginning. It is not. Jesus is the Ancient of Days. He is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. He is the great I Am. Among the four Gospels, only John takes this unique entrance pathway to narrate the life of Christ Jesus. He takes pains to help his readers and all of us not to stop at the birth of Christ. John is urging us to look before the birth of Christ. He's urging us to consider the prequel to Christmas. The four accounts of the life of Jesus written by four different disciples of Christ, each are very different. They're not different because any of them got the facts or the truth wrong. They're all different because they are written by four very different people. Now, if my wife and I, if we go to watch the movie The Star is Born, and if both of us were to come back and write a character sketch of the character played by Bradley Cooper, I can assure you that our narratives will be like chalk and cheese. We are two very different people, and we will tell the same story factually correctly in two very different ways. That's how God's created us. We are all different, each of us unique, made in God's image. And so it is with the four accounts of the life of Jesus that is given to us in the Bible. And God, the Holy Spirit, the grand weaver of the Bible, used these very differences among these four disciples to give us a rich, diverse, and a holistic account of the life of Christ. And so this Christmas morning, there are things to learn for us from each of these four gospel accounts. Let's take Mark. His racy, action-packed account forces us to consider the incredible work of Jesus, the miracles he did, the people he healed and delivered. Mark will not allow us to overly romanticize Christmas. After reading Mark, no one's going to build a nice Christmas tree, dress it with fairy lights, and sip hot chocolate, and enjoy Christmas in the selfish comfort of our nice homes. That's not what Mark does to us. Mark will stir us into action. He will inspire us to step out and serve those we need, those in need, as we did walking into the brothels and serving the sex workers in Kamathipura just a few days ago. Luke, on the other hand, is very different. Luke is a doctor, and he is leading us to marvel at the virgin birth. He will bring us to a place of awe at Christmas time, marinating our souls in the incredulity of God becoming man without overly romanticizing or commercializing Christmas. Matthew, he's very different too. Matthew forces us to consider the family tree of Christ. If you really think about it, this is as incredible as the virgin birth itself. Roughly 2,000 years before Christ was born in human form, God promised Abraham that Christ would descend in his line. And so Matthew painstakingly put the pieces together. He painstakingly pieced the family line together across 42 generations to help us see how Christ was not an afterthought, but the eternal and sovereign plan of God to save mankind. But John is special today. John is the guy we're going to focus on today. John begins his narrative by giving us brilliant insights into the pre-incarnate Christ. It is this truth and doctrine of the pre-incarnate Christ that I'd like to focus on today. From the passage we read, I'd like to share three things for us. First, I want to talk about the evidence of the pre-incarnate Christ. pre-incarnate Christ simply means Christ who existed before he was born from Mary's womb. The evidence for the pre-incarnate Christ, the work or ministry of the pre-incarnate Christ, and lastly, our response to the pre-incarnate Christ. Let's begin with the evidence for the pre-incarnate Christ. The pre-incarnate Christ existed from the very beginning. He existed from forever, eternally, before he was born in human form out of Mary's womb. Christ was God himself. Jesus Christ is not a created being. He is the creator God. He always existed. He is the great I am, a mystery and glory that no human mind can comprehend. In speaking to Moses, hundreds of years before his birth, the pre-incarnate Christ introduced himself as I am that I am. I'm going to show you in a little bit that God who spoke to Moses was the pre-incarnate Christ. Hang on for just a minute. Jesus introduced himself as I am that I am. I exist, period. Jesus has no tense, he has no time, he has no age, he has no limit, he is not bound by physics, he is not constrained by arithmetic. The entire universe cannot contain him, all of human intellect cannot define him. He is Jesus the Christ, he is God himself. No explanation. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is not created. He is I am that I am. This is the pre-incarnate Christ. And this Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. This is the joy and the miracle of Christmas. This Christmas season, John is forcing us to consider the pre-incarnate Christ, the Christmas prequel. Christ was from eternity before he became flesh on Christmas Day. I'm reminded of the modern-day Christmas carol, Mary, Did You Know? Mary, did you know that when you kissed your little baby, you kissed the face of God? Mary, did you know that the sleeping child you're holding is the great I am? It is not just John, the disciple of Jesus, who is forcing us to consider the pre-incarnate Christ. Christ himself spoke about his divinity. Christ claimed to be God. God himself, nothing less. Let's look at a couple of statements that Jesus made in his teaching about himself, about his eternal beginnings. In John chapter 8, verse 58, speaking to a bunch of doubting Pharisees, Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." Abraham lived 2,000 years approximately before Jesus. That claim shocked the Pharisees. "You're not even 50 years old," they retorted to Jesus, "and you claim to have seen Abraham?" The unbelieving Pharisees could not comprehend the pre-incarnate Christ. But we can. "Before Abraham, I am," Jesus said. In another place, when Jesus was praying with his disciples, he prays something extraordinarily profound. John chapter 17, verse 5. "And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." Jesus is equating himself with God himself. Jesus is saying, "I'm equal to God." He is the Son of God, co-equal with God. This is a spectacular claim that Jesus is making about himself. Jesus is telling, "Father God, glorify me with the glory I had with you before the beginning of the world." Jesus is claiming to be God himself, and as followers of Jesus, that is how we worship him, as God himself who was and is to come. Christ pre-incarnate, Christ incarnate, Christ crucified, Christ risen, Christ ascended, and Christ coming again. Will you worship Christ Jesus this Christmas? That's the evidence for the pre-incarnate Christ. The second thing I'd like to draw for us from this passage is the work or the ministry of the pre-incarnate Christ. What was Christ Jesus doing before he was born out of Mary's womb on Christmas Day? The Bible gives us some very clear answers. First, we already saw in the passage that we read that the pre-incarnate Christ was very actively involved in the creation of the entire universe and everything else. From the passage we read, through him all things were made. Without him, nothing that has been made. That thing was made that has been made. John chapter 1 verse 3. Jesus created everything. Second, the pre-incarnate Christ has been sustaining creation all through history. Colossians chapter 1 verse 17 says, he is before all things, and in him, in Jesus, all things holds together. Jesus is the center of every created thing, and he's holding and sustaining all of these things. Third, the pre-incarnate Christ was actively involved in the Old Testament history as it was unfolding. Jesus appeared several times in the Old Testament. I'm not going to get into all of the details for lack of time. I could do an entire sermon series on the ministry of the pre-incarnate Christ in the Old Testament. Just walking through the Old Testament, it'll probably take us 20, 30 weeks to see all the physical manifestations, presence of Christ in the Old Testament. Maybe we'll do that one day. But for now, let me say this. Wherever the Bible says the angel of the Lord, not an angel, but wherever the Bible says the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, it is a direct reference to the pre-incarnate Christ. If you study those passages closely, these passages make a difference between the Lord, Yahweh, and the angel of the Lord. They are co-equal. Both are worshipped and both are distinct, the Father and the Son. Any reference in the Old Testament to the angel of the Lord is a reference, direct reference to the pre-incarnate Christ. For example, Exodus chapter verses 1 to 2, Jesus introducing himself to Moses. Let me read that passage. It's not going to come up for us, but let me read that for us. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock into the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him, the angel of the Lord, pre-incarnate Christ, appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. It was Jesus who spoke to Moses. Jesus appeared several times to Abraham as the angel of the Lord. He appeared to Moses, as we saw in the burning bush. He appeared to the three men when they were walking in the fire. We're going to be looking at that in the coming weeks as we continue our series on Daniel in the new year. He appeared to Gideon. And if you'd like to study this, let me know. I'll be very happy to give you with all the references. But there's just one point that I'd like to make here and now about the ministry or the work of the pre-incarnate Christ. At New City, one of the things we've been coaching and we've been learning together all through is that the Old Testament is Christocentric. One of the things we deeply believe is all of the Old Testament is pointing to Christ Jesus. And therefore, we believe when we read the Old Testament, we need to read the Old Testament with Christ Jesus in the foreground, and the Old Testament will only make sense to us with Christ Jesus. And so the Community Bible Reading Journal that we use, and the 2019 edition is fresh off the press, is there for us to pick up at the end of the service. The Community Bible Reading, the prayer journal we use to together read through the passages of the Bible, the same passages of the Bible through the year, that's designed to help us, to coach us, to train us to see Jesus in all of the Old Testament as well. This teaching places Christ as the person who is yet to come in all of the Old Testament. This is correct. We must anticipate the coming of Christ, anticipate the fulfillment of Christ in the Old Testament as we read that. But this alone is not the full and complete picture of Christ in the Old Testament. Jesus is not just a future prediction in the Old Testament, he is also a very present and active participant in the Old Testament. He came as a messenger bearing God's message to Abraham. He guided and protected Israel, speaking and making physical appearances directly to Gideon and Samson. He came as an agent of God's judgment to David. He came as an agent of God's refreshment when the Israelites were in the wilderness and God asked Moses to beat the rock and water came out of the rock. And Paul in the New Testament reinterprets this passage for us and says, that rock that Moses said, that was Christ. He came to Elijah. The angel of the Lord spoke to Elijah and refreshed him when he was running away in fear of persecution. This is the ministry or the work of the pre-incarnate Christ in the Old Testament. He was there in all creation. He sustains all creation. And he was not just a person to come in the Old Testament, but he was a very present and active participant in the Old Testament. That brings us to the third and the last thing that I'd like to draw for us from this passage. Our response to the pre-incarnate Christ. How are we going to respond to God who was there from before the beginning of time? And God who was born out of a woman's womb for the salvation of mankind. I want to divide this application into two parts. First, I'd like to talk to those of us who are explorers of Jesus. Those of us who are interested in Jesus, who are curious about Jesus, you enjoy this community. You feel good. Worship speaks to your soul. You may not understand it fully, but the worship speaks to your soul. If that's you, we would call you an explorer of Jesus. You're exploring, seeking. I want to share three things for those of us who are explorers of Jesus. First, Jesus was more than just a mere miracle. The virgin birth, as rich as it, as incredible as it is, we cannot limit Jesus just to the virgin birth. You know, you could dismiss the virgin birth as a freak incident, you know, it just happened. It's a miracle. But Jesus is not a mere miracle. He was not just a human born out of the womb of a virgin, of Virgin Mary, but he is pre-incarnate from the beginning. Second thing, for those of us who are explorers of Jesus was more than just a good teacher. You know, one way of dismissing Jesus is saying he was a good man, he taught good things. You know, Mahatma Gandhi learned from Jesus' teachings. So many good people learned from Jesus' teachings. So there are a lot of good things to learn from Jesus. And we can limit Jesus to just a good teacher. But God is not allowing us that this morning because he's calling us to consider the pre-incarnate Christ. God is telling us that Jesus is not just a good teacher, but he is God himself who existed from before the beginning of time. And the third thought I'd like to press in for those of us who are explorers of Jesus. If Jesus is God himself, will you worship Jesus this Christmas? Will you worship Jesus as God this Christmas? The second line of application I'd like to draw is for those of us who are followers of Jesus. Christmas is a celebration of the full glory and the full splendor of the deity clothing himself in the full fragility of humanity. Think about this. Christmas is a celebration of the full glory and the full splendor of the deity clothing himself in the full fragility of humanity. all of God, all of the splendor and the glory and the power and the majesty, the fullness of God Himself contained in the body of a frail infant born of Mary's womb. Jesus, even though He limited Himself into human form, did not give up His deity even when He clothed Himself in humanity. Jesus is simultaneously both fully God and fully man. Go figure. It's a mystery no human mind can ever comprehend. The full humanity and the full divinity of Jesus is a crucial truth and doctrine that every believer and follower of Jesus must deeply appreciate. Let me help us see from the Bible that Jesus was both fully human and fully God at the same time, simultaneously. Colossians chapter 2 verse 9 says, For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. A simple sentence. It captures the truth of the universe in it. In Christ, the fullness of the deity, the fullness of God, dwells in bodily form. Again, the book of Hebrews talks about the humanity of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 17. Since the children have flesh and blood, Jesus, fully God, too shared in their humanity. For this reason, verse 17 in Hebrews chapter 2, He had to be made like them, fully human in every way. We're all dressed up in our Christmas beauty. Each one of us is looking good, and I hope I'm looking good too. Would we consider for one day wearing rags and walking into our office? Would we do that? The fullness of us, the same person, the same education, the same title, the same accomplishment in our careers, the same savings and investments that we have, the fullness of us limiting ourselves to wearing rags like a beggar on the street and walking into our office, would we do that? We wouldn't. I won't do it. God did it. Because we who deserve only rags could be so beautiful in God's eyes that Jesus took our rags upon Himself so that we can be made beautiful before God's eyes. The understanding of the truth and the doctrine of the pre-incarnate Christ is going to teach us as followers of Jesus to appreciate the virgin birth and Christmas in a deeper, richer way. And so the application for us this morning is to worship Jesus. He deserves our worship. Worship Jesus, not just because He was great and glorious and beautiful, but worship Jesus because He took all of this greatness and came in human form. Not only did the great and the glorious, the great I am that I am, not only did He limit Himself into weak, frail, fragile human form, but He limited Himself to fragile human form and He allowed Himself to be broken for us. This is why Christmas came. This is why Jesus was born, so that He could be broken, so that He could be murdered. He could be punished by God the Father Himself, so that when we put our faith in Him, when we believe in Him, God will not punish us, but just forgive us and accept us and embrace us and transform us. I want to close by just calling us to worship. The pre-incarnate Christ draws us to worship.